When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome to The Create Unknown, the home of Make Something Mean Something. I am Kevin Lieber, back from my terrible illness last week. Sorry about that, folks. We were gone because of that. And with me, as always, is Matthew Tabor.
Are we going to end the year on a positive note, a negative note, or a negative positive? How do we categorize all of this? Because we have this Festivus-style list of gripes. We have some criticism to mete out. We have some angst to blast, but we also, we don't feel unhappy. We're quite hopeful, and we look, you know, we're in a good headspace with everything. So I don't know how to categorize this.
I don't know. I'm glad. First of all, thanks to all of our patrons for joining us for this kind of pre-Christmas episode. It's lovely to see all of you with the holiday cheer. Richter has a Santa Claus hat on in his profile picture.
That's right.
But in terms of the mood, I think it will keep it in classic TCU fashion, which will be a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. And I know that the griping
Timothy column A and Timothy column B.
Wait, what? What is Tim? Who's Timothy column?
Yeah, I was. It was a play on the actor's name.
What actor?
Isn't it Chalamet?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, come on. That was Timothy a better Chalamet? Joke than you gave it credit for.
Yeah, I was lost. I was in the woods on that one. I was lost and I had no way of getting out and meeting you at the road where the joke was waiting for me.
I'm trying to tap into that coveted Zoomer demographic.
Impossible.
How do you do, fellow kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think even how do you do, fellow kids is... It's too old. Like, that's boomer.
That's old.
Yeah. So we have a major gripe to kick this episode off which was supposed to be last week's gripe, but I ended up sleeping for 5 days in a row due to capturing the flu that apparently is going around and everyone has or had. I've had it. Hopefully I'm good now for the rest of this winter and going into 2024. But there was a bit of a controversy, a bit of a snafu on old Vsauce 2 a couple of weeks ago as it relates to trying to release a documentary, a 47-minute documentary that we made on Trofim Lysenko, Lysenkoism, Joseph Stalin, the USSR, and...
Soviet science in general, yeah.
Yeah, the state of Soviet science at that time, and...
Why it was what it was.
The repercussions of that, sort of where we're at today with the field of genetics, you know, it kind of ran the gamut a little bit. But YouTube did not like this video. YouTube decided quite early on, I'll say real quick that typically, and you know, I don't recommend this to our YouTuber listeners, but typically on Vsauce 2, the video gets uploaded like right before it goes live. It's a mad scramble to get the video ready when it comes to the description and closed captions and the end cards and just making sure the title and the thumbnail are what we hope will be successful. All of that stuff ends up being a very crazy mad dash. That wasn't the case with the Lysenko video. The Lysenko video actually was finished. Everyone was happy with it. There were no more edits. I didn't have to re-record any mispronunciations of any names or any words. It was done and dusted and solidified and locked and uploaded the day before the release. However,
first time ever. For the first time ever, we were ahead of the game and we'd done it right.
Yes. So proud of ourselves for finishing the video early. And then the hammer came down. The hammer came down on the hammer and sickle video. YouTube's hammer That's came right. down and decided to age restrict this video so that you had to be 18 years or older and logged in to your 18 years or older YouTube account in order to even watch this video, as if it were just like the most grotesque, gruesome, adults only oriented video that you could possibly imagine, beyond the old NC-17 rating, which, you know, at one point was like a death sentence for the film industry, for Hollywood. If something received an NC-17, that was crazy. Yeah. Oh, you have to be 17 years old to watch this? It might as well be porn. That would have been better than what we got on Vsauce 2, which was basically NC-18, 18 plus, for a documentary, an educational science documentary about genetics.
What do you need to do? What do you need to be 18 for at this point in time? Are cigarettes 21 now?
No, I think 18. So I think cigarettes are 18. Voting, joining the military, 18.
You can join earlier. You can join at 17 with your parents' express written permission, okay, which there's no option for on YouTube. So they're saying, even if your parents are okay with you watching this horrible Vsauce 2 video at 17, that's not good enough for us. So you are welcome to troll through a jungle or desert somewhere, dodging AK-47 fire. Good luck to you. But you can't watch Vsauce 2.
No.
Vsauce 2 is far more dangerous.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely, absolutely. This educational documentary that I would, in my opinion, state that was appropriate for eighth graders. Do you think that's
sixth.
Fair? Sixth graders. Okay.
Yeah. That's wow. Fine. 12 is fine. There's nothing in that video. I mean, it would be boring as hell to a 12-year-old probably. But there's nothing in that video that would be disturbing or upsetting or even contentious to them. I would go as low as 10 below 10. It's like, well, do you have any references to, you know, war and politics and the rest? Because it's just like confusing and difficult. But there's nothing visually, there is nothing textually / script / narration-y that came close to checking any box within policies. And we know that the basic term here is 13, right? Like, you technically need to be 13 to get a YouTube account.
Yes, yes.
So that's the line, is can a 13-year-old watch this? And 13 is about seventh, eighth grade. This is something that literally should be shown in an eighth grade classroom.
Yeah, yeah. First of all, let me correct that. Apparently, it is 21 now for cigarettes. It looks like they passed a law.
Really?
Yeah, 4 years ago, 2019, they passed a federal law, 21. Sorry, kids. You're going to have to wait a few more years to get your cigafruits. But eighth grade is what I thought. I thought, you know what? This seems like appropriate enough. You're old enough by... 13 years old to watch a video about a seriously tragic time in human history and sort of the ramifications of the decisions that were made. But YouTube decided 18, which to me, like, that gap is really crazy. Like, you're telling me you have to be essentially out of high school to watch this documentary. I mean, that is so beyond preposterous that it was seriously, seriously frustrating. And I do want to clarify something for people who are like, what's the big deal? You know, maybe kids shouldn't watch it. Well, the big deal is that this is a death sentence for a YouTube video. You cannot release a YouTube video that's age restricted. You cannot do it, because not only are you not allowing anyone who, with their profile, you know, says that they're under 18, you are eliminating people who are logged out of their profile from watching this video, okay? Which I assure you is probably the majority of people who go on YouTube are not like hardcore, have an account, leave comments, logged in users. They're people who, you know, pop onto YouTube casually to watch something. And maybe they don't even remember the password to the account that they created 7 years ago. Okay. And being hit with like a login screen in order to watch this really scandalous science documentary, I mean, that is a huge barrier to entry. That, what percentage of people do you think just leave and click on something else because they don't even want to bother with logging in? I mean, if it's.
Oh, I have. Yeah.
It's annoying. It's just a nuisance. So
it is. And even the hyper users don't care about this stuff. And I'm certainly one because, I have to be on the YouTube site during the day many times on several different accounts. But I don't even pay. I don't pay attention at all to what account I'm logged in on. I don't care. And that does mean that, like, you know, like the nonprofit I do things for on their watch history, all of a sudden it'll show like, here's the best
breastfeeding videos.
Like, I was going to say something about sharpening chisels, Kevin. But yeah, like I don't make sure to switch to my personal account when I'm doing irrelevant things. Now, how many horrible things have I Googled while logged into the Vsauce email? You know, like if somebody ever audited the Google history on the Vsauce.com email accounts, it would be a horror show. You know, every stupid thing I Google, I'm usually logged into that Google account for. Mm-hmm. You know, so you get this dichotomy of the people who don't care on one side, don't bother logging in, doesn't matter. And then the people who don't care because they don't care. They're logged in on 10 things.
Yeah. So, cause I had received some comments from people when I made an initial community post saying the video was going to be delayed due to this. And then I made a follow-up after the censored version, which we'll get into, but there were some people who don't, and I don't blame them, but they don't understand that you just really cannot release a video that's age restricted. You know, unless that's kind of all your channel is, I guess, and you just,
that's your brand.
Your brand, and you just are used to it, and your fans and your audience knows that, and, you know, that's kind of part of what you do. For an education channel to drop an 18 plus restricted gated video, I mean, you might as well just delete it. You might as well just not release it at all. It would be pointless. Yeah.
It's like they treated it like it was like, oh, okay, so here's a channel that generally is 100% family friendly, but this one is just a little too much. Like the magic school bus takes a trip down the urethra. Like,
that's a good episode. Like,
that would be an example. It's like, okay, this is a family friendly show.
And Mrs. Frizzle, you know, goes sounding.
Right. You know, on this topic, we just have to have an extra layer. I think we know that Donovan is laughing at us right now. Yeah. at this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, imagery. The school bus docking episode.
But you'd think it was that kind of that type of content to warrant this.
Yeah, no, not even a little bit, not even a little bit. So. The other thing I should mention is due to COPPA laws, many years ago, YouTube started requiring all videos be designated for kids or not for kids, okay? Every single video that you upload requires you to declare whether or not the video is for children, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's another kind of behind the scenes how the sausage is made part of this, I think, is worth mentioning, because this video, like all of my videos, is declared not for children. Then it's so insofar as also checking the proper box to say this isn't for kids, and by YouTube standards, right, kids are anyone under the age of 13. The video clearly stated it wasn't for anyone under the age of 13. But the fact that they decided that it couldn't be for anyone between 13 and 18, man, that was because if this were a movie, I would say PG-13, right? Like, would be a proper rating for this. It's not PG, right? It's not on the Disney.
I think it is.
It's not on the Disney channel. Well, you're talking about
I would call it PG.
Things like cannibalism, dead bodies and people starving to death or whatever. You're talking about like grim details of and violent details of a historical event. You think that that would pass at a PG level?
You tell me this. Which do you think would be more traumatizing to an 8-year-old? This video about a wrong-headed approach to Soviet science and its consequences, or Bambi's mother biting it in the first 5 minutes?
I knew you were going to say Bambi. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or Artax dying from the never-ending story.
Yeah, I mean, it would be different if what you'd included was graphic, and there was one photo that was suggestive of graphic. Like, it gave you an indication that this was a real thing about a market that traded in a little bit of cannibalistic meat. But the photo itself wasn't a bad one.
No. It was censored already.
That was the, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. It was censored. So all it was here's proof of that bad thing. That's the extent of it. That's the most jarring part. And honestly, it's nothing compared to the news. I mean, any news broadcast has 10 times the horrors your video did.
Pretty much. I mean, one of the images we ended up blurring actually was just from a New York Times article. It's not like it was something, right, you know, scraped off the bottom of rotten.com. It was like literally
an image, lots of deep cut.
An image from the New York Times. So anyway, the next segment of this saga is that I spent 4 days trying to talk to anyone and everyone who would listen from YouTube to try to reverse this decision that I thought was not only a wrong decision, but an automated decision, that there was something that was said in the video or something that, you know, whatever sort of AI is scanning the visuals, you know, identified as being shocking. And, if I could just get a human being with their own judgments and brain and processing and perceptions to watch the thing, surely they would agree with my side and declare that, yes, this was a wrong flag. This should not be age restricted. You know, feel free to release this onto the 13 plus year old masses of YouTube restriction free.
We need to point out, though, that we need to back up because we have to be clear about when YouTube started lying. Okay. And that was one step before what you were just talking about, because the initial review hits the automated review, whatever. And that happens. You know, sometimes a thing gets triggered and whatever, you submit it for human review and they do exactly what you're saying. Well, you did that. And then 13 minutes later, they had somehow human reviewed a 45-minute video.
Yeah, I think it was less than 13. I think it was like 8. It was really quick. It was, I think, within 10 minutes.
Impossibly.
It was impossible. Yeah, no. Yeah, they could not. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up, because the other part of this is that typically when something gets flagged, they tell you what it is. So they have to. Yes, they will timestamp a portion of the video. They will locate a section of the video that they have a problem with, or they will at least just give you some sort of general understanding of what the violation is. On this one, the whole page was blank. It was literally blank. There was nothing. It was an empty page of problems. It wasn't like I could even begin to guess what the problem was. There was not only no timestamp or no section of the video that was identified as being a problem, there was no sort of overarching, you know, violation or category that it fell under that was suggestive of what the problem was. It was just empty. And the funny thing is that, you know, the page says something along the lines of like, YouTube has identified the following problems. And then there were no following problems. It was just blank. It was just an empty page. So on top of them rejecting my dispute impossibly fast, they also didn't identify what the dispute was to begin with or what their issue was with the video. So Talk about flying blind on something. I was flying headless on this one.
I don't know what you've been sipping, but you've got it all wrong. It's time to commit to the Leaf. We've embraced the smoothness and surprising pick-me-up that tea provides. I literally drink it all day long, nearly a gallon a day, and it powers me through research, script writing, and forums on websites that I refuse to name here. But we don't drink normie NPC tea. We drink cultured and refined anime tea from the Dragon's Treasure. Kevin still likes the gunpowder green called Space Cowboy, and I've sampled nearly 40 Dragon's Treasure teas at this point. Lately, I've been slamming black teas like Kentucky Bourbon and liquefied Berserk Despair. Scottish Breakfast is deep and peaty, and I smooth it over with Sebastian's Morning Earl Grey, which has the best vanilla cream taste I think I've ever had in a cup. Give me a pot of that with a hot meatball sub from Sal's Pizza and Brooks Barbecue Chicken to wash down my last meal on death row. I highly recommend the sampler packs. You'll want to try everything just like I did. I literally have not had one tea that I wouldn't be happy to reorder. The Dragon's Wings membership fuels new tea experimentation, and the Tea of the Month Club provides a regularly scheduled surprise. And when you order from the Dragon's Treasure using code CREATE, you'll get 10% off your order. That's 10% off using the code CREATE at thedragonstreasure.com. The link's in the description.
People need to know the Kev Lieb context on this as well. This would generally be annoying to go through if you were just releasing a video and whatever. But whenever there's any kind of sponsorship or brand support or integration like that, you have a contract. In that contract, you almost always have a specified release date. This matters for marketing people because when they spend their money and the cycles on that matter to their budgets. Okay. So you can't just say, well, we're neck deep in a weird one here. Give us a week or two to sort it out. And they don't reply and just say, sure, whatever you need. No, there are consequences for this outside of the channel. So there's a pressing issue with making that release date. Now, most places are used to dealing with YouTube and its quirks, and it would be very uncommon for them to say, you know, you said December 22nd, we're, you know, the deal's off if it comes out December 23rd. Like that doesn't happen very often. Most of the time they understand that there's a little bit of leeway because they want the video to be maximized as well. They want people to see your video so they see their inclusion in it. But you have this tremendous pressure to abide by your contract. So you're responsible for these terms and effectively implementing these terms, yet you have no control over the system that will allow you to do it. And it would be one thing if what Kevin was describing, that reasoning comes in and it says, here's the timestamp, this triggered it, redo this, cut it, fix it, whatever. And then you make a decision about how to do that. And if you're willing to do it, I'm sure some people, you know, wouldn't for all sorts of reasons. But that would be an easy way to resolve it, and then you would be able to fulfill your side of that contract. So think of the position that the YouTuber is put in here, where it's flagged with no explanation at all. You submit for a human review. Minutes later, when it's impossible to have done it, they tell you that, yes, the humans, the seven-year-olds who review videos in a Malaysian sweatshop have taken a good look at this. We promise. On 800% speed, they've 8x'd your video, and it's still 18 plus. And what do you tell the people on the other side of that contract who have put some decent money in to a video that for over a month has been part of their marketing plan? This is a very, very bad spot to be in.
Yeah. I didn't like it. I didn't care for it because you're right. It's not just like, oh, well, I'll just release it whenever it's ready. It's like, okay, no, there are a lot of people who are part of this video being released on time. A lot of people's jobs, not that they're at stake, but their jobs are tied to this video. So I'm trying to get a hold of people. No one's responding. Eventually, I'm able to speak with someone who throws their hands up, you know, because of course they just say, well, there's nothing really I can do about this. I will create a support ticket for you. And they essentially, you know, kick that. I don't even know if it's up the chain. They kick it just down the chain, along the chain.
They kick it.
They just kick it.
They kick it from the Malaysian sweatshop to the Indonesian 6-year olds. They're the ones who deal with the support tickets.
Yeah. So, well, that chain took like another 2 days, 2 or 3 days to hear back from. Okay. And in the meanwhile, I am being very persistent, politely persistent, just kind of pressing buttons and tapping people and bumping threads and trying to get anyone to listen, to take a look at this, with this glimmer of hope still, again, that if anyone would actually just watch the video, they would know that this is perfectly fine for 13 through 18. Perfectly fine. This is not
all that has to be done.
No kid will get in trouble when their mom walks in and they're watching this historical educational science documentary. It's not a thing. Imagine being grounded for like watching Vsauce 2.
If you're an Amish child, you're boned. If your parents come in and see you watching a Lysenko documentary on YouTube, it's over for you.
They have YouTube?
There are kids out there. No, that's what I'm saying. Like you're in trouble.
Your bones just
on like at, 7 different existential principle. Levels if you get caught. Yeah. is terrible.
Yeah,
I mean it hits the technology side. It hits the worldliness side.
Bad.
God, it's even a Russian historical topic. Everything is bad about this. So yes, if YouTube was really looking out for some 8-year-old named Jedediah who has somehow sneaked a cell phone and YouTube account under a hay bale somewhere.
Yes. Snuck away from the barn raising to watch my Lysenko video. Other than that instance, I cannot foresee someone being in trouble for this. Someone between the age of 13 and 18. However, to not drag this out any further, I finally received a reply from YouTube, from the ticket gods, whoever it is that replies to the tickets, sent a reply that was 100% generic, 100%, 100,000,000% totally generic boilerplate response. Absolutely had nothing to do with my video. Absolutely had nothing to do with my channel. Absolutely had nothing to do with the content in question. It was this ridiculous response educating me on the fact that YouTube is not a shock website. Okay. That's what the response was. The response after like 3+ days of begging anyone who I could possibly beg to watch this video because I knew they would reverse the decision. The response was basically, dear YouTuber, YouTube is not a shock website and therefore does not allow shocking violent imagery such as gore, etc., etc., etc. Just the most bland ChatGPT would have been more personalized. If they used ChatGPT, I could have been fooled into thinking that someone would have watched the video. Instead, it was a million times more generic than that.
Yeah. Whoa, come on now. You need to understand, Kevin, that this website is not, it's not bum fights or live leak. Come on, what are you trying to pull on us here?
WorldStarHipHop.com. It's not even E-Bombs right. World. It's
something awful.
Yeah, no, the response is what was awful. Man, was I so bummed out, to say the least, that is what they gave me. So the next step was just, you know, I had no choice other than to go back to the video to fabricate what I thought could potentially be triggering the automated systems, because it was 100% clear as day that no human being was going to give this video a look. So then the game just becomes, okay, how do I trick the system, the automated system, from, you know, plopping whatever red flag that they're plopping on the on it in its current state. And the decision was made to just go through and blur, I don't know, I think about four to six more photographs. We just pixelated the crap out of. And then
all in the same section. Yeah, same rough section.
There were a couple of sections. There was a section towards the end that got some blurring as well. The New York Times image that I mentioned was kind of later on in the video. Yeah, there was like one thing in the intro. There were a couple of things towards the end of the video. And then the major thing was just cartoonishly censoring the entire cannibalism section. Just, oh man, we just basically bleeped every third word just to get through that. And it worked. We, you know, re-uploaded that censored version of the video. It was monetized okay, and it didn't get age restricted. So, you know, the video is released. But
it's the spot.
But then people were complaining in the comments. That was the thing that really, you know, poured salt on the wound of this whole process, was then you get a whole bunch of comments from people being like, the bleeps are really annoying. The censoring is really annoying. It's like, yeah, it is, isn't it? Because it shouldn't have to be this way. But at the end of the day, I was given no other options on this. None at all. What else was I going to do? I had no other choice.
Thank God you guessed right, too. I mean, it's awesome that the guess you did have and the intervention that you put forth, it did solve the problem. It very well could have been the wrong spot. I mean, it wouldn't have been impossible for you to do all of this, and John as well, on the editing side, to take your best shot at it and somehow miss the thing that got triggered. That could have happened. Thankfully, it didn't, but what would you have done, you know, if that's how it had played out? You take a stab at it and you still get the age restriction. Well, then what? Would you keep doing it? Like
trial and error.
Sanitizing
blindly?
Yeah. And this is when it really started to bother us, because this has never happened before, has it?
No.
Never. Roughly 500 videos over 70 to 80 years of Kevin screwing. Over at least 10 years of YouTube every few months telling you that educational videos and the educational vertical within YouTube is the most important thing to them.
Lies.
It's a complete and total lie.
Lies.
And it always has been. They've said this over and over and over. Every VidCon, they'd make a big deal out of it because everybody was there together. You get the periodic initiatives that this is our thing that solidifies our commitment to education.
One of our four pillars.
None of it's true.
That's one of the corporate speak that they use. This is one of, you know, Susan's four pillars.
Yep. And none of it's true. And then when an actual issue happens on something that I am comfortable saying is as good as any, hour-long documentary on any streaming platform. Quality is there. The substance is there. It's unique. That is an excellent, excellent video. Well, when you do need to spend a few minutes sorting out an issue with it, this pillar of theirs does not exist. It's fake. The whole thing is a complete lie. None of it's true, and it's a mess. And when this all kind of got together conceptually for us, you know, we started to be pretty bothered by it. You know, Kevin, I don't know how detailed you will let me be about the Twitter thread that I made.
Oh, yeah, no, I think that you can be pretty much as detailed as you're comfortable with being. I think.
Well, I'm not comfortable. And that's the point here, is that this is a thread of things that are featured / allowed on YouTube that give me pause talking about on this podcast.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's funny.
So, I'm going to link the thread in the episode chat, and I'm going to go down through, I'm not going to spend forever on these, but I just searched for a couple terms. This was not some forensic endeavor to find some objectionable or adults themed content that slipped through the cracks. No, every single one of these was like 5 seconds. Here's one of the top three results. I didn't even have to scroll down pages on this stuff. Well, the first one is the Wicked Kuehl channel, which has a lot to do with gay men's sexuality. The channel does, and it's quite popular. A couple million subs. Yeah, 1.6 million subs. And there's this video with about 3 million views that's a 5-minute tutorial called How to Bottom for a Big Penis that has a penetration countdown running in the top left. The two men are engaging in consensual adult sex that is sort of like there's a curtain that keeps you from seeing the true graphic nature of it, but they're going through this 5-minute thing about how to do this, right? And it's obvious what's happening. This is not 18 plus. Okay. That's where I'm getting at here. This video, anybody with a YouTube account can see it. Anybody not logged in can see it. This is not adult content. I looked at some others. There's the execution of Syrian soldiers that you see the seconds literally before they are killed, and then you hear the gunshots that killed them. So this is a video that depicts 99% of about 7 murders, and that's completely okay. That's not adult content. That's suitable for all ages. You know, if that comes up after Cocomelon, your 3-year-old apparently is okay. There's another one depicting a couple of them in this thread as you scroll down, depicting obviously sexual things. There's a video of an actual rape of a woman in Bolivia that was done in a government building. And this is like the security cam footage of the assault. Okay. So it's not HD, it's not 4K here, but it's really obvious what's happening in this video. That footage does not require you to log in. Anybody can watch this assault. There's another one that has cartel members murdering people with chainsaws, and they really mask this. They go above and beyond to hide all of this in the title by calling it "The Cartel Members Who Murdered People with Chainsaws." The thumbnail says "real footage" and shows a man with a bloody chainsaw at his neck. This has nearly 1 million views. You don't have to log in to see that. But I thought, you know, what about an educational topic that is extremely controversial, but like part of an unfortunate part of society, right? And so there's this TED Talk called "Let's Be Mature About Pedophilia." And Madeline Vanderbruggen spends, 20 minutes or whatever talking about treating pedophilia as a mental health issue, as more so than a criminal issue. All right. So she's talking for 20 minutes about pedophilia. That's a mature subject. It's not in her context. She's doing it in an academic way. It's not a shock thing. It's not crazy. Like she's talking about a public policy, public health issue, but it's certainly a heavy duty one. It's not, should you wear a mask on the subway? It's potentially very upsetting for a lot of people, but her contribution to the debate is, you know, academically legitimate in that sense, but there's no age restriction on that. Okay. So I really ran the gamut of presenting the options here, you know, with like, this is all stuff that is 100% fine on YouTube. We've hit the range from graphic violence to not illegal things. Obviously, that first video I talked about with the two men is not illegal in any way. It's not that, but it seems like it would qualify as adult content. So all of these things show how useless and stupid not only the enforcement is, the enforcement that Kevin was talking about, but the terms of service themselves. They clearly do not, they do not line up at all in reality. And so you take Kevin's whole story here to this point, then this is the state of YouTube. What do you do? And we actually conclude, we made a conclusion by we, I don't mean Kevin. This was somebody else. He's not in the episode chat right now, so I can't shout him out. But Kevin, do you have the episode chat open?
Yeah.
We found a YouTube video that encompasses a thumbnail for it that encompasses really this whole problem. And I wanna show that to everybody right now. There it is. Can you describe what you're seeing, Kevin?
No, I can't actually. I'm not going to.
It's an original artistic expression of the situation, which presumably would be completely fine on YouTube, given, you know, the derivative aspect of this thumbnail. But this is why you show up to episodes, right? This is why you join in so you can see, you can get the special sauce.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing to the weird to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
Yeah, I would like to move on from the special sauce, but and just say that that whole experience was really terrible. Everyone involved in the process on the YouTube side was completely and utterly useless, buttoned by the fact that the YouTube support Twitter account even replied a few days after the censored version of the video had been out. They finally replied, and even their reply made it perfectly clear that no one watched the video. Because
what did they say in that one?
They said something about how it was age restricted because it showed men fighting or something like that. Let me get the exact.
Oh, that's right. Because I replied to that on Twitter. Just, I forget what I said, but basically that this couldn't have been, you know, nobody could have looked at this because there are no men fighting in this video. And there aren't.
No. It says none. This is the wording because I think it's important. It displays adults fighting. That's what they wrote. It displays adults fighting. No, no, it doesn't. It definitely does not display adults fighting unless you have the weirdest, loosest interpretation and definition of what displaying adults fighting looks like.
I'm opening the script now because I can't even remember if there was a reference to World War II. Okay, there's a reference to World War I just saying that it, you know, eviscerated Russia. And this was a major part of the story here too, because it set the conditions for, it was really kind of the last piece of the puzzle for Lenin and the Bolsheviks to bolster what they were doing and then kick off the civil war that eventually led to their victory. But so we had to mention that World War I was very bad for Russia and set the stage for this. Beyond that, let's see, I've got 3-4 more to go. Oh, okay. There's a phrase after the close of World War II, and this is about McGraw-Hill thinking about publishing one of Trofim Lysenko's books. But that's it. After the close of World War II, that's the war reference. Post-war celebration of the Academy of Sciences. The last bit is saying that, you know, a lot of the Russian scientists did not live through the war. So I have just given every single reference in a 6,500 word script to war, fighting, whatever. None of these do anything other than mention the name of the conflict, and they certainly don't show it. They don't display anything because that's not what the content is about there. So this is truly a mismatch. It does not match on any, even a level of like you interpreted this badly. No, it's an impossible interpretation of what happened.
Yeah, it's just fake. All of it is fake. No one looked at it. No one would look at it. And instead, we have to have this uncensored version, which is like annoying and lame and annoys people. And one thing I want to say real quick is that the bleeping. Yeah. When I mentioned that the bleeping was annoying to people, and someone in the episode chat mentioned that muting is much better. Well, I know that now. Like that's a good, like, I didn't know that because I don't have experience in having to bleep the words that I say in YouTube videos. But, you know, that is a good piece of advice for sure moving forward, that if for some reason I do have to continue censoring and bleeping words on Vsauce 2, that, you know, muting is a preferable option for, you know, people wearing headphones or those who are just annoyed and find it obnoxious to hear that, like, a high-pitched bleep. That makes sense.
I'm really personally offended by this whole thing, and I mean that sincerely. I'm not saying that as a joke, because we work and have always worked so hard to identify topics that are important for everybody to know, that have broad appeal and acceptability, and then treat those topics in an equally accessible way. We go above and beyond on that stuff with every line of every script. There's no way that anybody puts more effort into all of that than we do. Just from the, when we're kicking around ideas for what a video should be about, we go through this kind of stuff because it's very important to us that the content matters to so many people. So we dedicate a tremendous amount of time, energy, and also expertise. We're very good at it because we know so much about the topics that we can make sure we do it right. And what's the point? What is the point when you're going to get a message that says, accuses you of putting a shock video up that has people fighting? Why bother with any of this? What is the point?
I don't have an answer for that. I mean, you know, I'm in the same boat as you when it comes to the frustration surrounding this. Like, it's like, you're right. If it's
your boat, I'm down below, like shoveling coal into the thing. It's your boat.
No, I mean the boat of you know, frustration and offense. Like when I read that boilerplate garbage response about YouTube not being a shock website, my blood was boiling. My blood was boiling because after days of waiting, and I need to stress the fact that I was talking to human beings throughout this process. I was talking to human beings at YouTube across multiple different departments. Human beings were reading and responding to portions of different emails that I was sending, trying to get a human being to review the video. So when finally the response was that, like, obviously cut and paste garbage response, It just added so much insult to injury that I was furious. I was absolutely furious and powerless because, you know, what do I do? What do you do? How do you argue with a robot? And when all of the humans defer to the robot, you can't argue with the humans either. It's like this perfect system that they have of guiltlessness, in which they all just bow down to whatever the robot says and throw their hands up and say, well, you know, robot has spoken, you know, basically go F yourself, because we all pray to the robot and we can't do anything about it either. Because that is what happened here, is that there were human beings involved. I'm a human being, they're human beings, and we all just fell at the mercy and at the knees of some robot. That is pretty dystopian and gross.
There's one more level to this that upsets me even more. It's falling to the level of that robot and then encountering a whole bunch of humans who support that robot.
Yeah.
Who they will execute the vision of the very, very flawed robot and not think twice and not take a second look at it or give it any nuance or listen to anything that you're saying. No. So you have this horrible system that's automated and twisted and useless, but then you have the real people who are fighting tooth and nail to implement it. That's a problem. You can always improve an automated thing. You can always make a better robot. But when you have low IQ zilches who will, without any questions, back up and support and thrust forward the output of the flawed robot, you have a real problem. That's much, much harder to fix.
Yeah. That's why
the people didn't know what to do. Scare me on this a lot more than the system does.
Yeah. 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 The whole thing is very creepy because I totally understand that there's like a billion hours of YouTube uploaded a video uploaded to YouTube every 30 seconds or whatever we're up to at this point, whatever the stat is. But there were a bunch of people involved in the process that I was speaking to directly, and no one seemed capable of actually thinking for themselves, of actually reviewing the thing, of actually looking at it, you know? So I assume it's just kind of like, we don't have the time. It's not my job. We kick it to the robot, and whatever the robot spits out, we all follow, and, you know, good luck. But yeah, so even after all of that, like I said, there was no indication as to what the problem was. There was no suggestion as to what to alter. There was no anything. The whole thing from start to finish was an impersonal mystery, an impersonal black box that we just had to crack and make up to please the robot. And, you know, we put out a new video today. Happy with that. That's doing well. But at the end of the day, I thought the Lysenko video was the best video we've made this year. I think that the research involved in that video, the visual assets and the primary sources on that video are top of the line, man. Like when that video was done, I was like, holy cow, this is really something. Like this is a serious piece of work that was put together. And it is super ironic that that's the one that just gets nailed by a brainless, algorithm.
We do this episode on plagiarism and surface level work that's being passed off as having depth at the same time as we're dealing with this video where it is truly what you're saying. For example, I have read with my own eyes every single article from about 1930 to the present that the New York Times ever published that included Trofim Lysenko's name. Now, that was one publication, and I have read every single one. Well, we also hit a lot of newspapers and other publications and all that. But that's the whole thing. Like, these are two separate concepts, right? But this was what was going through my head through all of this. It's like, you've got this scourge on YouTube of people, I'm going to say plagiarizing, but it is a little different than that most of the time. Which is why I rip on the Wikipedia reading, you know, this instant, like I'm going to do a 10-minute book report on the first three results in Google. Some of it's lifted and some of it isn't, you know, and you have that as being a tremendous problem on the platform. And then we spend months in some cases, most cases, it's actually about a 3-month process now for a video because it takes that long to get familiar with the overall topic and then start to figure out what the video is actually going to be about. So, you know, in this case, this video doesn't happen at the level that it is without a pretty deep understanding of the Soviet Union between its formation to the 1950s. That's a lot, by the way. That's a big topic. That's a really big subject, one of the biggest in world history and one of the most complex. But you have to do that before then you focus in on the Lysenkas and the Vavilovs and the details of how it operated. And once you do that, you have to go to you really got to plumb the depths. You know, you have to read everything the Times has put out mentioning a person. You have to read as much of the published research as you can that's relevant. This takes so much time, and the result is exceptional. You know, it's very, very good. There's diminishing returns on that time that are not important to viewers, but are very important to us. You know, we want to put out a video where, Kevin, you look at it and you say, in terms of research quality and presentation of this topic, it's the best thing I've done in the 11th or 12th year of my career doing this at the highest level. We need to be able to do that. That's what's important to us. So then we do it. It's the complete opposite of this epidemic on the platform. We play by all the rules. We do everything right. And this is what happens. The consequences are real. I talked about the contractual stuff, but do you know what the real effects are with this? My health insurance, paying the basic bills that make up somebody's life, that go into their paycheck, that let them know that there's going to be another paycheck after this one. And you know, the coffers themselves, while not Scrooge McDuck full, are not, you know, every 2 weeks, you're not trying to make the money for that 2 weeks. It's a better feeling, okay, when you know that next month you're going to get paid, as opposed to hoping desperately that next month you're going to get paid. There are human consequences to this. Very real stuff. The paychecks, the health insurance, the bills. And if any of that does go south, figuring out what's next on a moment's notice. Even the prospect of knowing that you might have to figure out the next step when you're not, you know, yourself ready to do that or interested in doing that is a bad, bad feeling. It's truly the sword of Damocles. And YouTube is, you know, smacking the sword and making it swing and occasionally sharpening the thing and playing around with it as some real humans lay underneath it, kind of wanting to live their lives. When we put all of this together, it is much, much more than an annoying glitch that delayed a video by a few days and forced some beeps and blurs. That's not the problem here. The problem is the severe, severe consequences of, honestly, what amounts to lies and bullshit.
Yeah. can we end the... this on
happy holidays.
Has any sort of positive positive note at all? Because that was a pretty macabre rant. That I know, obviously, is true. But man, that was grim.
Well, let's do a total switch then. And this is real too. I mean, it helps a lot, by the way, that this afternoon a video came out. People like it a lot. The metrics are good. We like it. We were proud of it. You know, it's half the length of the Lysenko one, and it's a great story. It's impactful. We can tell from people's comments. We've ended on a really good note for the year. But where are you mentally, spiritually, emotionally? What is the life of the Kevlieb rolling into 2024?
Well, that sort of is the magic sometimes of YouTube, or I guess just being a creative person in general, is like you get another crack at it. You know, I guess sports are like this too, unless, you know, you lose in the playoffs and your season's over. But, you know, there's always next season. That whole, like, you know, get them next time thing definitely pay. It's probably the only reason why anybody just keeps going is just the prospect of improving for the next one, getting better on the next one, having a better result on the next one. Certainly, it washes a bit of the bad taste out of your mouth to have some success on the next one. So yeah, I will agree that certainly getting another video out before the end of the year ended up being a really big crunch, especially because I got the flu and was out of commission for basically a full week. That I really needed to be working on this video. I'll just say real quick, like, I actually tried to record this video that just came out today while I was still sick, which I had never done before.
You were badly sick too. You were truly ill. Yeah, it was bad.
I couldn't stay awake.
Yeah.
I couldn't stay awake, but I had never tried to shoot a video sick before. wow, that doesn't work. That did not work. That was not something that I could just power through. Like I really willed myself. I slammed an entire, you know, energy drink. I was like, let's do this. I'm going to, you know, mind over matter sort of thing and slam my way through shooting this video and just, you know, fake it till you make it. No. That did not work. I literally could not get through the intro. My eyes kept going out of focus. I couldn't like say the words the way that I normally would say them. I felt like I was getting dizzy to the point of passing out trying to do that. So I don't recommend that. It wasn't even something like I could just manage to pretend like I was okay. So that ended up delaying it further.
I thought there was a possibility. Yeah, I thought there was a possibility that it would have to be scrapped. You truly were that ill. And I thought there's a real possibility the timeline is not at all possible with this.
Yeah.
Let me tell you,
yeah,
when you gave it another shot, that I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. When I watched the draft, there is no indication whatsoever that you were not 100%. And I thought it was one of your best performances in memory. It not only was not sick, it was not bad, but it was exceptional. So whatever you did to yourself for that hour, wow. Like you need to have that in your back pocket so that you know in the future, if I need to pull it together for like 30 minutes of life, I will do exactly what I did for this video because you just crushed it.
Well, thanks. I didn't feel like I had crushed it after I got finished recording it. I sent it off to John and was nervous that he was going to say like, man, I just watched this and this is unusably terrible. I was just...
And he does that because, he did it to me
yeah,
at the
he would
same
be
time.
Honest about that, yeah.
Yeah, at the same time you were trying to do this, I was trying to record like a 45-minute narration that he would edit. And I was so happy because, you know, I was sick in October, November, and it took me a long time to recover physically, but also to catch up with work. And so the Friday before last, I think it was, I finally did it. I finally got this thing done. Took me 5 hours because I actually did it three times myself to get what I wanted on the narration. Took 5 hours. I sent it off to John at 1 a.m. I was still awake. You know, there's a time difference. So he was just getting going for the day. I get this message on WhatsApp that says, we have to talk and you're not going to like it.
Oh, no.
And I even called my mom when I was there. No, I didn't call my mom. I got in the car and drove to talk to my mom and say, I finally did it. The weight of life has finally been lifted off me. I am caught up. It's the weekend. I am going to hit Monday and do normal work and life is good. and he took it all away from me.
Yeah.
I tried to be storytelling type. Mine wasn't a sick issue. I wanted to be more audiobooky on this narration. And I did it and I was very happy with how it turned out. And his feedback was that it sounded like I was recording it without trying to wake somebody in the other room.
Oh.
It's like, this is a weird tone that's like you're suppressing this as opposed to, you know, telling a bedtime story. So yeah, John will absolutely say, no, this has to be done again. And on Saturday, I spent a few more hours and redid it. But yeah, if it hadn't been good, you would have had to redo it.
Yeah, yeah. But luckily, it was okay, you know, and John grinded like mad to get the thing cut and edited and finished for today.
He really did.
So shout out to him for that. And now he can go away for Christmas. We can all go away for Christmas. I mean... We're not really gonna go much of anywhere, but I know a lot of people probably are taking the next week off. So I hope that everyone enjoys that.
To be left alone for Christmas.
Yes, right.
That's why.
Right. Christmas leave is Christmas leave me alone. That's what
me alone.
You just add me alone to the end of Christmas leave.
I have no designs on going anywhere other than seeing a bit of family around Christmas. I don't have any plans to do anything. I want to clean my house. I want to set up some tools. I want to reclaim my streaming bench and get back on that. Like, no. There's no vacation here. There's just resuming life.
Yeah. Yeah. The ultimate staycation. But I hope that everyone has a safe and happy, you know, Christmas break, Happy New Year, all of that sort of thing. Please go watch the new Vsauce 2 video. Go watch the Lysenko video if you missed it. YouTube didn't want to show it to you. Yeah, if you're over 38 years old, you can watch the scandalous Lysenko video. But thank you.
You're only allowed to watch it if you yourself were in the siege of Stalingrad.
Yeah.
You have to be old enough to have lived through the events in the video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, crank your hearing aid up so that you can actually hear what I'm saying. Check that out. Thank you to all of our patrons for hanging out with us. It's always lovely to see all of your faces. Go to patreon.com/thecreateunknown to support this podcast. Will we be back next week? I don't think so. I think we're going to take next week off. What do you think?
I didn't think we would. I mean, what are you doing?
Nothing. We'll be back next
week. What are you doing for the
week? Yeah, we'll be here. We'll be here. We want to hear all about all of your Christmas presents.
That's right. We want to hear about all of your Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and Festivus gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas, Boxing Day on the 26th. Isn't that a thing? Yeah, Boxing Day, the Canadian bit. We want to hear about your loot and booty.
Yes, yes. Which also is not age restricted.
No. But we always have this horrible December, you know? We have this terrible thing that tests our minds and bodies with work and the rest. And then all of a sudden, it's okay and it feels amazing. This happens every single year. We push to the absolute limit. And then it's over and we're like, oh, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah, that was okay. Let's do it again next year.
Next year is going to be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. No. This is the game we've chosen to play. All right. So we will be back next week and hope that you join us for that. Until then, we will see you, Space Cowboys.
Thanks for listening to The Create Unknown. We make this show with the support of our patrons. 100% of that goes directly to keeping episodes going every week. And the recent support has been amazing. Sidpoke, NRM, Venture Addicts, Weezer Good, you all really do make this show happen. Thank you to the Tots and Dumpster crew, old and new, who save tiny little lives every month. Thank you to our grizzled, battle-hardened child infantry. Clemente De Los Santos, Dan the Latch, Demetrius Andrews, Erica, Farrakhan, Jen Mefasanti, Kevin Menard, Mikhail Steinke, Monahim, Natsu, Penny Peddler, Risebread, Ryan Kinder, Samuel Manser, Sean S., Sean Malone, and Tom Videoger. And a tremendous shout out to our elite baby gang commanders. Atrocious Guff, Cat, Dojangles, Graham Robertson, James Gallagher, Jeff Davis, Orange Vanilla Coke, Patrick Pister, TCU's personal pilot, Andy, Ryan Carroll, Baseweight, Vintos, Yetis Deletus, Jonas Walter, Nathan Robinson, Jelxies, and of course, Trevstead. You are the elite. Thank you as well to our indentured servants, producer-editor Ben Webster, Minecraft mogul Laterman, Discord kitten wrangler Conrad, and producer emeritus Dan Joshua. Thanks to Baseweight for use of Created in the Unknown for the opening theme. Thanks to Electro Voice for giving us mics to sound good on top of it. And a special thanks to Main Gear for powering all of our PC endeavors. The Create Unknown is an Unknown Media production in partnership with Studio 71.